We're going to continue our study in Genesis this morning. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, if I were to ask you at any other time but now, what is the most important day of creation, what would your immediate answer be? I'm assuming we're all quick enough that you're saying, well, since we're on the seventh day, and since he's asking that question today, he's probably going to get to the seventh. But if it was any other time, wouldn't you have probably thought the sixth day? I mean, everything builds up to the sixth day, doesn't it? The creation of everything, and finally, God makes the land animals, but more importantly, God makes man. And when he has made man, he blesses man, he gives man dominion over the world, and he says that it is very good. Every other time it was God saw what he had created and it was good. Now it's very good. And all that he has worked to create is done. And it's over. And I don't know about you, but for the most part, the seventh day seems kind of like a throwaway day. It's just added in there. On the seventh day, he rested. And really, you might even say creation only took 6 days. Why we call it the 7 days of creation when he was done on the sixth day? And definitely after last week, with all the emphasis we made on God creating man in his image, you could easily say the sixth day is so important. But obviously, because I asked the question this morning, I'm going to suggest to you that the seventh day is the most important day of creation. And I get to this in a couple of different ways. One, the writer of Genesis, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, being told what to write, I'm going to guess or assume, from God, because tradition tells us it was Moses who wrote Genesis, and these are things that there was no record of other than that God would share it with Moses. There were no other eyewitnesses there. We know that from God's questioning of Job, "Were you there when I created the foundations of the earth?" Moses wasn't either. And so here we have God telling Moses what happened and when it happened. And he takes pains to structure it to focus on the seventh day. You've got the 6 days, and they're grouped into threes. Remember, in the first day and the fourth day, they're focused on the same thing. The second day and the fifth day, they're focused on the same thing. The third day and the sixth day, they're focused on the same thing. You got the light and the sun, and you got the sea and the air, and you got the birds and the fish, and then you got the dry land and plants, and then you got land animals and man. And the structure is created in such a way that the seventh day is unique and set apart, which he tells us he has done. He has made it holy. He blessed it and sanctified it. That's making it holy. We find out in Exodus when the Ten Commandments are given that when God says you are to keep the Sabbath holy because it was on the seventh day that God rested from all his work. Now, if you're like me, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, if he's resting, he's not very well working, is he? So wouldn't all the rest of the work be more important? But as we're reminded from time to time, there's a difference between being still and doing nothing. Just because God rested does not mean that he isn't doing something. And so it leads us to wonder a little bit more about the idea of resting from his work. As I thought about it, I thought about the most recent project I'm technically still finishing. But we wanted to build the kids a fort that they could play on in the backyard. And looking at what you could buy and thinking, hey, I could build something to suit our needs for about the same amount of money, we set about building it with just lumber for ourselves. And we had met a goal. We had set a goal, I should say. We hadn't met the goal, but we set the goal. The goal was William's birthday. And fortunately, my folks came to visit us. So my dad got to enjoy and share in the joy of building the fort. And we worked right up until 11 o'clock, wasn't it? The party started about 10:30, if I'm not mistaken. The kids were inside playing while we were frantically trying to attach a slide and get the last few pickets up so that the kids could be safe playing on the fort. And right about 11 o'clock, as we finally finished up the last carriage bolts and the slide was ready to go, and we told the kids they could come out and go, I want you to know I rested from my work. I stopped building the fort. We put streamers up along it. William got to cut them with the scissors, and the kids ran in. And I spent the next probably 20 minutes standing next to the slide saying, boy, I just put this thing on. I hope it doesn't fall off. And I don't want any kids to break their arms on it. And part of it was I just sat there enjoying the fact that the kids were finally able to play on it. It wasn't finished. That's where the illustration breaks down. When God rested from his work, that didn't mean it was over. Think of any project you have ever done. What's the best day of the project, really? Isn't it not just when you've finished it, but when you can step back from it and enjoy it? That's the whole reason why you did it in the first place, to enjoy it. It doesn't matter if it's a woodworking project, working on a car, working on a quilt, working on anything. The greatest moment isn't necessarily when you begin it. It's not necessarily in the middle of it. It's not when you're correcting the mistakes you make or anything like that. The greatest moment is when you can step back and say, there it is. And you don't have to work on it anymore. You don't have to tweak it anymore. You just get to enjoy it. You know, building a foundation of a house is important. Making sure it's structurally sound is good. But what really matters is when the people can actually move into it and live in it. And that's what the seventh day is. That is when God steps back from all the work he has worked. The focus in verses 2 and 3 actually zero in on the seventh day idea. The Bible translators have been very nice to us in making it flow in English. But if you were to look at it literally as it is in the Hebrew, it would be, so the Lord God completed by the seventh day all his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, blessed and sanctified the seventh day, because in it he rested from his work which God had created and made. God is on the first part, the seventh day is in the middle, and work is on the end. And so the writer, Moses, structurally, not just in making 3 days, a seventh day, which is hanging out there on its own, unequal with any other days, not tied in with any other days, purely set apart. Not only did he do that, but then in writing about God resting, right in the middle of each line is the seventh day, the seventh day, the seventh day. And unlike the other days, the sixth day he blessed man. On the fifth day he blessed the birds and the fish, and he told them to multiply and to grow and to expand in their habitats. But on the seventh day, verse 3 tells us, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. The idea of the resting is not to recoup energy or strength. He wasn't worn out. It's the idea that this is when he steps back and enjoys. He delights in what he has created, and he sets this day apart, and he says this is a special day. It's a holy day. It is sanctified. And remember, when is he writing this? When is he telling the people this? After they've already got the Ten Commandments. So they've received the Ten Commandments. They've been told to keep the seventh day holy because it is the day that the Lord rested from all his work of creation. And then they are given the information and the story of creation, and they see how important it is. And it's not just, there is a little bit that the Sabbath was given to the people so that they could rest. Because in that culture and in that time, everybody worked every day of the week, all weeks of their years, all years of their lives, they worked. The only time they would get a day off is if there was a feast day for a god. Maybe that's why they had so many gods. If the only way you're going to get a break from your toil is if you're worshiping a god, it makes sense to have a few extra, doesn't it? But God, when he separated his people from their hardship and their toil in Egypt, he said, you're going to take one day and you're going to rest. The rest was so great that he was going to make little miracles happen. Like when the people were out in the wilderness and he was feeding them with the manna, the food would only last one day. The next day, if you saved it, it would be turned to maggots. But on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. And it would last a second day so that they would not go out and gather. And when the people foolishly did go out to gather more manna on the seventh day, there was no manna because God didn't send it. And then at the end of the seventh day, that food, the next morning on the eighth day or the first day of the next week, it would have turned to mold and maggots. They'd have to go out and gather it again, and manna showed up again. He did not want them to work that day. And it wasn't just about rest. And it wasn't even just about our God is so great compared to all the gods of the other lands that we are able to rest in him and we don't have to work a seventh day, although that is part of it. I remember reading about in World War II, there was a boat company that made small crafts, kind of like PT boats, and there was such a demand to produce during World War II, and they were given orders from the government that they were going to basically have to work 7 days a week. And that went against the owner's faith. He said, we got to take Sunday off. We got to rest. We got to worship God. We can't work every day. And basically, the contractors from the government said, if you don't work every day, you're going to lose this contract and you're not going to get any more business from the United States government. And so the boat manufacturing company's owner, he had a dilemma. Do I work every day or do I honor God? And he decided to honor God. And so he shut down production on Sundays. They did not build on Sundays. And when it came time for their quota to show up, and when they started delivering boats, you know what they discovered? They were producing more boats in 6 days than the other companies were producing in 7 days without getting any breaks. They were more productive in the 6 days over time than those other companies were who were pushing them out every day of the week without any break. And he ended up being the primary supplier when they had been threatened with being sidelined. It's not just about that, though. That is a part of it. You might even say that's a fringe benefit, not working, getting to rest, letting our bodies rejuvenate, and that's an important part. And if you continue to run the body, eventually it will run down and it will quit. But the idea of the Sabbath rest is so much more even than that. The Sabbath rest is enjoying what God has done and experiencing it, the culmination of his work. When the Israelites made the tabernacle, there is language very similar to what we see here where Moses inspected it, he saw that it was all done, and he blessed them. There is even similar language in the end of Joshua, the book of Joshua, around about verse or chapter 24, I want to say. He has just finished parceling out all the... not 24, that's the last chapter. Chapter 19, the very end of chapter 19, verse 51. They have handed out all of the... I'm messing that up, aren't I? He's handed out all the inheritances. And, it is 51. So they finished dividing the land, that idea of finishing. They rested, it was done. same as God finished the work which he had completed on the seventh day. They finished. They were done. There was no more parceling it out. Later on in Joshua, when he's talking to the 2.5 tribes that settled on the east side of the Jordan River, he starts talking to them about rest. That they have kept all the commandments that Moses had the servant of the Lord had commanded them. They had not forsaken their brothers, but had kept the charge of the command of the Lord. And in verse 4, "And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you." An interesting thing happens with that passage out of Joshua. The writer of Hebrews picks it up. And he says, in Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking about rest. In verse 4, "For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again, in this passage, in Psalm chapter 95, God says, "They shall not enter my rest." Those who did not have faith in him shall not enter his rest. Those who are unfaithful shall not enter into his rest. And again, he fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as he had said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his." The writer of Hebrews looks at what Joshua said to the people in that chapter, 19 verse 51, and said, you know, here he's rested, excuse me, when he's talking to the 2.5 tribes who are settling on the east side of the Jordan. He says, Joshua is still talking about rest. The people have entered into the land, and yet he says there is another rest. What is that? It's beyond just keeping a day. It's the idea of resting or delighting in and experiencing and enjoying the work that God has done. When God created the world, he set it up for humanity, and he enjoyed it. When the tabernacle was finished and Moses looked and he saw that they had done all that they were supposed to do and he blessed the people, what happened next? They used it. They enjoyed it. They worshiped God through it. When the people had come into the land and they had parceled out all the inheritance of the tribes, Joshua blessed them. It was finished. They didn't have to parcel out anymore. What were they to do now? They were to go and live in their lands and to take care of it. And if there were still people of Canaanite ancestry, they were supposed to wipe them out. And yet, there's this idea of another rest, because the problem in Joshua's time was that the people could still fall away from God. And for us now as believers, the question becomes, what is this rest? Is it taking the Sabbath day off? We don't even worship on the Sabbath. We might call Sunday the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was Saturday. This is the first day of the week. We celebrate Jesus on the Sunday because it was the day of his resurrection. That's why we gather on a Sunday instead of a Saturday. So maybe we actually do a better job of resting on the Sabbath than we might normally do, because we're all relaxing usually on a Saturday. It's more than just the idea of a day. It's the idea of enjoying God's work. And what is the greatest work since creation but salvation, redemption? The idea of resting isn't just relaxation or letting our bodies rest, although we do need that. It's no longer working, no longer tweaking, no longer fixing. When God had finished with creation on the sixth day, he stepped back. Now, he still had work to do. He still made animal garments for the man and the woman when they sinned, and he still had to work with humanity, and he still gave himself to humanity and revealed himself to us. There was lots of different kinds of work still to be done, but the work of creating was over. The Sabbath rest that we as believers enter into is salvation. there is no more work to be done in saving you. There is no more work to be done in justifying you. There is a different work that continues in our lives, the work of sanctification, the work of becoming more and more like Christ, the work of becoming holy. There is still that work, but it is a work that is done in the rest of God. As we rest in Him, that He has done all that we need Him to do to save us. There is nothing more that we have to do to be redeemed. He's already done it. When we enter into His rest, it's finished. We're blessed. And then there's other stuff. There is the tending. There is the caring for. God still did all that. What we know about God is that He holds the whole universe together. He can't take a day off. He can't take a moment's thought off. His resting was, He didn't have to tweak the world anymore. He didn't have to create anything new, any more creatures, any more plants. He was done, and He was able to enjoy it, and He created humanity that we might enjoy it. And He did this on the seventh day. And so for the Israelites, when they celebrated the Sabbath, it was the idea not just of physical rest, but also worshiping God and enjoying what He has given them, that they are His people. He has brought them into the promised land. And it was a foreshadowing for the rest that we have in Jesus Christ, that we don't have to work at our salvation. Now we work it out with fear and trembling, but that is the cultivating, not the redeeming. And even this is just a foreshadow of the final rest that we will have when His kingdom is set up and in eternity. These things that we experience are a shadow of the things to come. We have entered into His rest, and yet there is even better and greater rest in the future. It's not a lack of work. There is work to be done. It's the idea of enjoying and in experiencing and appreciating what God has already done. And stopping and saying, there's no more I need to do about it. There's no self-help to become saved. The Israelites, we know from the Gospels in that time frame that what the Israelites did was they took the Sabbath and they made it a law. And they made righteousness determined or visible based on how well you kept that law. To the point where they even had a problem with God healing people on the Sabbath because, by golly, you weren't supposed to work. And it didn't matter how Jesus tried to talk to them about it. Think about it. It wasn't about work. It was about rest. It was about setting them free that they might enjoy God. Doesn't that kind of change your ideas about what God was doing when He healed people on the Sabbath just a little? Do we participate in His rest, or are we still struggling to do what He has already done? Do we enjoy, do we delight in what He has given us? You imagine working really hard to build something to give to your kids or your grandkids, and your desire is that when it's done, they would use it. It could be a hobby horse. It could be a craft. It could be anything, whatever. You have worked and labored to give it to them, and once you have given it to them, they just spend all their time. They don't play with it. They're trying to figure out how to improve it. Or maybe they spend all their trying to earn the labor that you have put into it. And so instead of playing with it, what they're doing is they're trying to do the dishes or to cook or to clean because they want to make sure they earn this gift that you have given them. Don't you just want them to enjoy it? To enter into it and to play with it and to use it? Don't you just want to sit back and experience them enjoying it? Doesn't it break your heart to think how they would tire themselves out trying to improve it or to earn it when you've already made it for them? And all you ask is that they enter into it with you. That is the Sabbath rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have given us rest. As believers, it's not even just one day, it's every day, really, is holy to you. We don't have to strive. We don't have to fight. We don't have to carve peace out for ourselves. You give it to us through your Son. And you've made every day a day of worshiping you, a day of acknowledging that we delight in you and that we receive all the blessings we have from you and that we serve you, our God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to wrestle with this idea of rest. I know many of us are probably very poor at taking time off and truly resting in you, not just to relax on an easy chair or on a boat out in the lake, but to spend time with you, to rest in you. And I thank you, Father, we don't have to do any of these things to receive it. We just have to enter into it as we are today. I pray, Lord, for those who maybe are still struggling to earn your rest. Maybe think that there needs to be something more done so that they can better receive it. I pray, Lord, that they would acknowledge and accept that there's nothing we can do to improve on what you have already done. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves better for it, more acceptable to you. That all you desire for us is that we would enter into your rest. And I pray, Lord, that we would today. Not that we would quit working, but that we would be still and know who our God is, and that we would be still and rest in you. And we pray these things through Jesus, our Savior. Amen.